Up here, I brought in some prizes. We're going to have a little prize giveaway here, a little trivia here, and it's not on your papers, by the way. You don't have the trivia questions, so you can just stop trying to cheat on those. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But I got a Charlie Brown thing here. Look at this. Listen to this.
I'll take this little tree home and decorate it, and I'll show them it really will work.
Could you hear that at home? It's Charlie Brown talking about the little tree. So we have this prize. And here's a snowbot. It's a little robot snowman. Uh-oh.
Aw, poor Charlie.
Charlie needs a home. And then I don't know what this is. How do you know that, Ben? You should not know what a tea light is, I don't think. Give me your man card. All right. And then I got this here. Here's a Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas snowman wall hanging thing. Here's some cookie cutters. Here's some Mucklucks, women's slipper socks. And then here's one of these things. So anyway, if I'm going to give these away. I mean, if you answer a trivia question right here, and you all can try at home if you want to type in your answer. We'll see if you get something that nobody here gets, then we'll let you, I'll deliver your prize to you. So here we go. Let me give you let's have a little fun here. And here we go. Trivia questions. Are you ready? You got the first hand I see. I'm going to call on you. You'll get to be the first person to pick. Here we go. Number one. How do you say Merry Christmas in Hawaiian?
Oh,
I think that's pretty close. That's pretty good. Mele Kalikimaka. All right, Aaliyah, which one do you want to come up and pick one of these things out? All right, number two, here we go. What is the best-selling Christmas song ever and by whom? I saw you next. Okay, it's not Nevermind. No. Brandy, do you know? It's not that. You're going to have to think older than that. All right, I'm going to Dave. It is not Blue Christmas by Elvis. Duana? Not Chestnut. Not the Christmas song. It is Bing Crosby's White Christmas. All right, Donna, come on up and pick. Number three. Let's see. In the song, this is a fairly easy one. In the song Frosty the Snowman, what made Frosty come to life? Duana? Ah, you don't have it. You're sitting there singing it to yourself. Back here, Jabez.
I lost it.
I'm going to take that. It was the magician, an old silk hat in the song. That's right. Jabez, do you see something that you want? I'll send it back to you. Or you come on up if you can. All right, good enough. She doesn't need her walker for that. All right. Here's a tricky one. Think carefully now. You ready? Number four. How many ghosts are there in A Christmas Carol? Be careful. There are four. Everybody forgets the first one. You got it. All right. As soon as she picks, then you pick, Duana. Here we go. Next. What well-known Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcast from space in 1965? I was born in 1965. Nobody? It didn't cost anything to look. It was Jingle Bells. Charlie, it was Jingle Bells. All right, next. Here we go. What three words best describe the Grinch? Robert.
Stink, stink, stunk.
Stink, stink, stunk. That's it, Robert. Come on up and pick. And what do we have left here? We have the... Oh, we actually have three left. We have this potholder, and you can take the potholder. So we have this these cookie cutters, and we actually still have this calendar from Sunday. Okay, this personalized calendar, and I can't believe you all passed up that calendar. You didn't know, probably. You took that Charlie Brown because you didn't know that calendar was available, and I'm sorry about that. Here we go. All right, Home Alone 2 features a cameo from what...
Donald Trump.
That's it. Which one do you want? Do you want the calendar?
I'll take it.
Okay. There you go. Last one. Here we go. You know what? And his shirt is perfect for this last one. What is Ralphie's little brother's name in the movie A Christmas Story? Anybody who hasn't won yet want to guess? All right, Ben.
Randy.
There you go.
Don't call me on that.
All right. Well, that was fun. And Diane, I'm going to give you this box as a consolation prize. You're welcome. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, oh, you got the Charlie Brown, huh? Okay, very good. All right. Now, here's a couple, no prize, because you probably wouldn't get these. Does anybody know how many gifts in total were given in the 12 days of Christmas? How many in total? Yeah, do we have any Rain Man in the audience can do that real quick? It's 364. 364, if you do all that math, that's what it says. And what was the other one I wanted to... Oh, does anybody know this? As the clock chimes midnight to ring in a new year, a Spanish tradition involves eating 12 of what? One for each chime. Tacos! No, it's not tacos. I'm just going to let you figure that one out later on. All right, you can look that up later on. All right. Let's get into. We're going to get. I've got two things I want to do now in 30 minutes here. So very, very quickly. Let me get. It's grapes. Grapes. That's the answer. All right. I don't want you sitting there thinking about. No. Don't be doing that. All right. Let me have your attention now. I want to get in. You came for a Bible study tonight, and we're going to do that. Let me ask you a question. How important is it? How important is it that we pay close attention to details in Scripture? We should, yes? You know, there are a lot of things in Scripture where God speaks sometimes very subtly. God sometimes hides a gem right in the middle of something that we would often pass over. And so it is very important that we pay very close attention. It was funny, on Sunday, I asked the question, what does the word Noel mean? And that was actually Leah's idea, because Leah is actually the one who brought it up before church ever started. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just throw that out there and I'll give a prize away to whoever knows. Well, nobody knew. And isn't it funny that we have all these, we've all heard the word Noel. We've sung the first Noel our whole lives. Excuse me. Our whole lives. And yet we sing it and we don't even know what it means. And I wonder how often we do that with the Bible. I wonder how often we just go through things. I wonder how often we hear the Christmas story. Well, probably once a year, right? I would imagine most of us hear the Christmas story once a year if we're sitting in church. But I wonder how close we pay attention to details, and if so, do those mean? So tonight, is you got your study guide, and those of you at home, I didn't put this out there because I want to have a discussion here, but and I didn't want you all working too far ahead, and so I'm just going to kind of give you these things. But tonight, I want to look at some Christmas things that we believe. I'm going to talk about the Christmas story. The first part of our study tonight is about the Christmas story. This is our last Wednesday night before Christmas, and I want to walk through the story, but I want us to learn how much do we really get right about the Christmas story. There's a lot of things out there about the Christmas story that aren't necessarily factual. They're not necessarily biblical, rather. That's kind of what I want to talk about. I want us to really look at what the Bible has to say and what the Bible does not have to say. As an example, now this isn't necessarily a biblical thing, but you know, we don't really know what date Jesus was born. We don't know if it was March the 7th, or if it was September the 3rd, or if it was December the 25th. What do you think the odds are that it was actually December the 25th?
1 in 365.
Yeah, 1 in 365. That's what the odds are. Odds are, or depending if it was a leap year, you know. So we don't really know for sure. That's just kind of one of those things where that is something that was adopted, and it was just chosen as a day to remember. Same thing with Easter, although we have a better idea about when Easter was because of the Jewish holidays. But it's kind of one of those things where we just sort of kind of pretend like that's the right thing. But there are other parts that we really just sort of by tradition we believe, and they aren't necessarily true. Some things are that we believe and some things are not. So we're going to kind of go through this list here that I've given to you. I've got 13 things here for you, and we're going to do this fairly quickly. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to write a word, either fact or fiction, or you could choose fun. It's something that we just do for fun. Doesn't really matter. It's neither fact nor fiction in Scripture. But what we're doing is we're looking at what exactly does the Bible say? Now, don't look up the Scriptures yet, okay? Let's talk about it first. Then we'll look at the Scripture and see if we're right, okay? So those of you that are already cheating, shame on you. And actually, not shame on you. It's good. If you're working ahead because you're looking for something in the Bible, good for you. Let's begin. Number one, Mary rode a donkey to Bethlehem. Is that a fact or is that fiction? Ben says fiction. See, now, here's what always happens. There's always somebody who's very confident in their answer because they think they know the answer and they'll speak up. And everybody else is like, yeah, I'm not saying anything. And that's kind of where a lot of people are. How do you know? Motorcycle? A camel? She, it could, you know, and we don't really know. So this is, let's see what the Bible has to say. Notice in Luke chapter 2, let's look at the Scriptures. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David. By the way, that's about 70 miles. It's a pretty good journey back then, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed or to be counted is another word you could put in there. It's like a census. With Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. We know she was pregnant and she traveled. Now, nowhere in the story does it ever tell us that she traveled on a donkey. But we all think she did, right? Because that's what we always see. And we even say that sometimes. You know, and again, does it matter if she rode a donkey or a camel or, you know, a car? It doesn't really matter, okay? But my point is, this is just kind of a beginning into this thing that we oftentimes assume things about Scripture. In this case, it probably doesn't matter. But there are some times in other parts of Scripture, and as we're navigating our Christian lives, where details can matter. So I thought the Christmas story is a good opportunity for us to all kind of look at ourselves and consider ourselves, how detailed do I study Scripture? All right, so let's move on. So the first one is fiction. Number two, Mary and Joseph were turned away at all of the inns in Bethlehem. It's fiction. It actually doesn't say that. We believe it because, what does the Scripture say? The Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. But it doesn't say they were turned away. It doesn't say that they tried different, you know, but that's kind of the romanticized part of the story, isn't it? You know, that's the story we always tell. And I think preachers are the worst about this. You know, we'll dramatize the story to make it seem, you know, as tough on Mary as we can. In fact, another one kind of similar to that, we picture Mary like ready to burst, don't we? We picture her, and even in the videos that we see sometimes with a great song, we picture this she's 9 months and a couple of days and, you know, over, and I mean, she's ready to give birth, and boy, they hit Bethlehem, and they're frantic trying to find a place to have this baby, and that's probably not the way it was, and so that's kind of a detail that is not really it's not really factual. Now, we don't know. It could very well have been the case, but the Bible does not say so. Number three. Now, these will get more interesting as we go on. Number three, Jesus was born in a stable. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say Jesus was born in a stable? Where do we get that then that he was born in a stable? I mean, every nativity I've ever seen, right? You have a nativity set at your home, all of you at home, I want you to look at it. It's probably not a Holiday Inn. They don't even have those anymore, do they? It's whatever. It's not a Ramada or any of those. It's a stable, right? It's a little stable. And I would love to set up a live nativity next year outside of our church. My father-in-law always did that. I think it'd be a wonderful thing for us to do a live nativity right out front next year for Christmas and to have people come in and do it. But was Jesus really born in a stable? Well, the Bible says what? Wait, we know the Bible, we know the Christmas story, right? What, Randy? We know that he was laid in a manger, which is the next one, number four. Yeah, a manger is a feed trough. But all we're told is that Jesus was put into a manger, not necessarily he was born in a stable. So we don't really know. Number three, we don't really know for sure. But let's take a look at what the Bible does have to say. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And a manger was a feeding trough for animals. So that's where we get the idea. We kind of assume that because there was no room for them in the inn, there's no room for them. And by the way, the inn was probably more like a guest room over top of somebody's house. And because of that, he was laid in a manger. And we kind of assumed that he was born in a stable. So on that one, I kind of feel like, yeah, you could kind of justify saying that that's probably where he was born. But the Bible doesn't really say that. All right, now, let's get into some real details here. Number five, the shepherds, right? Remember the shepherds were out in the field. The shepherds were first met by a heavenly host of angels to announce Jesus' birth. Negative, that's not one of your choices. All right.
There was one angel and a heavenly host joined.
Ah, Leah says there was one angel who announced Jesus' birth, then he was joined by a heavenly host. Let's see if she's right. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. We have this kind of along the same lines. What happened next? When the heavenly host showed up, what happened next? What happened? Come on, we all know the story, right? How old are you, Brandy? 27? Oh, you're so young. I've just dashed her whole, just crushed her whole Christmas experience. No. You know the important parts. How old are you? You're 55, right? So for 55 years, we have heard this story every single year, but we don't always know the details, do we?
The shepherds left the field to go see.
They did, but but what happened when the heavenly host did the heavenly host sing Handel's Messiah? No, they actually didn't sing at all. They did not sing it. I know Brandy's like, huh? It's like I'm telling her there's no Santa Claus. There's no tooth fairy either, just so you know.
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying.
Praising God and saying. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. All right, so they were speaking. Yes, please. It's a good question, Brandy. It is. And in this case, honestly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt anything. With the Christmas story, it is okay for us to picture them singing. It's okay for us to picture them in white robes. It's even okay for us to picture them with wings and halos, even though they probably don't have those. But, yeah, you did. But, you know, again, there will be times in our Bible reading where we sometimes may tell somebody something that is important. But it's not necessarily true. You see, my point is, and here's the point. I'm hoping we'll get out of all this. This is an innocent thing that we're going through this and realizing how much we don't know, how many details we miss. When it comes to telling somebody how to go to heaven, we better get those details right.
Yeah.
When it comes to talking about who Jesus is, you know, for example, we better get the concept that Jesus was born to a virgin right.
Yeah.
That we better get that right. You know, we better get some of these doctrinal issues right. The Christmas story is a great one for us just to step back and examine. Wow, there's some details that I kind of assume, and we do tend to do that. We tend to assume a lot of things about God, and sometimes we assume wrong, and sometimes we repeat those to other people. I've been a victim of that myself, or I've been a perpetrator of that myself. I have told people some wrong things. In fact, I'm going to share with you something that I said recently in a sermon here that probably I shouldn't have said because it's not technically right. And I'll share that with you here in just a couple minutes. Here we go. Let's move on because I got to get to the big Bible study, the more important Bible study at the end. All right, number six. The shepherds left immediately after the angels were gone to find the baby. See, now everybody's afraid. Now everybody's afraid to answer. Well, yeah, kind of assuming.
He said, let's go see this. Like, yeah. And
yeah, and I would call that immediately.
I'm
calling it immediately. Okay, that was a fact. Let's look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. And I love this about the, here's what, I love this about the shepherds. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go. Huh, how about that? Now go, let us now go. Yeah, they did. Quick conversation. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. I love this about the shepherds. You know, they didn't question it. They didn't sit there and think, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe they doesn't want us to come. No, they were like, this is the greatest news I've ever heard. And they were there. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go out into our community today and say, did you know that Jesus Christ was born as a baby, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross to save you from your sins, and all you need to do is trust him as your Savior? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if people would just immediately go and believe that? Now, again, they had angels show up. That's kind of a big deal. But I love this about the shepherds. I'm not sure had the angels gone to the tabernacle, the temple, or the, you know, religious crowd, I'm not so sure. They probably would have wanted to know what denomination Jesus was. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, what kind of music does he sing? You know, it's really sad, but I love this about these shepherds. All right, let's move on. Number 7. All right, now I want you to picture in your mind now, picture the nativity you have sitting at your house. Picture all the nativities you've ever seen. This question is about who was there. Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and the shepherds are the only ones mentioned being present right after Jesus was born. Fact or fiction? We know all those were there. Was anybody else there?
No.
You say no?
Well, angels.
What about the little drummer boy?
No.
Actually, there were no angels there. At least the Bible doesn't say. Anybody else? How about wise men? How about the cows and the sheep and the, you know, all the animals we always see? Yeah, how about the saint? There's a saint, I think. Yeah, no, let's take a look at what the Bible actually does say. Verse 16, this is actually a fact. These are the only ones who were there. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So a true nativity is going to have those characters, shepherds, and the family, and that's it. And isn't it an amazing thing? And we've talked about this before when we talked about unlikely people. The shepherds were the hated people back in that day. They were the lowest class of all the people. The people in the town, they would have been the last people that they would have ever expected to be the ones who got to witness Jesus' birth. Now, isn't it an amazing thing to you? I think it certainly is. If we're going to go back to the moment, or at least a few hours right after our Savior entered this world as a baby, there were only two people plus those shepherds that were there. You talk about a privileged group. And yet they were considered to be the lowest class people on the face of the earth. Doesn't that give us hope? That Jesus came and the lowest class of all the people were the ones invited to be there when he was born. Isn't that a great thing? Exactly. Yeah. They weren't allowed, they were barely allowed to even be considered to be citizens. I mean, if you couldn't do anything else, you were a shepherd. Isn't that an amazing thing? And you know, Jesus continued that all through his life. He continued that all. Look at the people he called to follow him. There weren't very many successes. He called the people that you wouldn't have expected. And Jesus got along with all of the lowest class people far better than he ever got along with the wealthy and the successful and all that kind of thing. All right, number eight, let's move on. Number eight, the three wise men came from a country in the east. Fact or fiction? I see some nodding of heads. I hear three facts. They did come from the east. That part of it is true.
It doesn't say how many.
We assume three because of what?
The three gifts.
We assume there were three. Let's take a look at what the Bible actually has to say. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. That's true. Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now notice also, they were also not at the nativity because they came later. Jesus was already he was a toddler by the time they got there. And that's a great thing. All right, they're not necessarily three. They just, we know they were from the east. Could have been three. Could have been 10, could have been 2. All we know is there were at least 2 because it says the wise men. All right, by the way, in the bonus, here's the thing I messed up the other day. So the other day in church, when I was talking, I said they were kings. Bible doesn't say they were kings. We don't know if they were kings. They were wise men. They could have been astrologers. They could have been, you know, which was kind of, astrology and astronomy were kind of one thing back in those days. But we don't necessarily know they were kings. But anyway, that's just kind of a bonus. Number 9, we've got to hurry. Number 9, Joseph did not question the truth of the angel's prophecy of Mary being pregnant from the Holy Ghost. Fact? You know, Joseph is the only character that I can find in the Christmas story besides Jesus himself that actually never spoke. When the angel came to Mary... What did Mary say? Anybody remember? When the angel came to Mary and said, "Mary, you are found favor from God. You know, you're going to have a child by the Holy Ghost." What did she say? She did say that, but she also said, "How can this be? I don't know a man. I've never known a man. I've never, And so she kind of questioned it, but Joseph didn't. The Bible says he was a just man, and he never questioned that truth. Look at verse. Let's read that real quick. Matthew 1:18. He never questioned it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, here's what I find really amazing. The angel spoke to Mary while she was awake and conscious and said, "Here's what's going to happen." And she said, "I don't know if that can happen. I don't know how you're going to do that." But Joseph just had a dream, and yet he obeyed. He said, "They said, don't be afraid to take her to be your wife," and so forth. Look at verse 20. That is verse 20. And verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Do you know Joseph just might be one of the best men in Scripture that never gets credit for anything? We don't know for sure. I think Joseph probably ought to be one of those guys that when we get to heaven, he ought to be one of the places, he ought to be one of the people we go to first, you know, because, you know, he did a remarkable thing here. He never questioned the angel. He did exactly what was told to him in a dream. It's really kind of a remarkable thing. That is a fact. Number 9 is a fact. Number 10, John the Baptist was born before Jesus. Yep, that's a fact. That's a fact. He was also Jesus' cousin, and he was born 6 months before Jesus was. Number 11, the current practice of putting, and here we're kind of skipping ahead to present now. The current practice of putting up a Christmas tree is sinful, according to Scripture. You ever heard anybody say this?
Well, in the Old Testament, they talk about roads.
Take a look at Jeremiah. By the way, I label this one as fun. We put up a Christmas tree because it's fun. But watch Jeremiah. Here's where a lot of Christians say, "Oh, you should never do this." Watch this carefully. It's interesting. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heathen, for the heathen are dismayed at them." Now watch, verse 3. "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it moves not." Doesn't that sound a lot like a Christmas tree? Anybody rethinking whether or not you ought to have that tree in your house? Well, first of all, you are a blood-bought, born-again, New Testament Christian follower of Jesus Christ, so you don't have to worry about it. But secondly, yeah, this chapter actually goes... There are some Christians, though, honestly, that they don't have Christmas trees because of a verse... these verses. But this verse, this chapter actually goes on to talk about how they worship those things as idols. And they would carve them, and they would turn them into idols, and they would fall down, and they would worship them. So have your Christmas tree. Don't fall down and worship it. Okay? And you're good. Let's see. Number 12. The star in which the wise men moved and the star which led the wise men moved and stood over the manger. That's actually fiction. I gotta expedite this because I gotta share something else with you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible talks about how the wise men actually followed the star, and it was the and they followed it after they left Herod. And you can kind of see that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. Anyway, we gotta move on. Number 13. Replacing Christ with an X in Christmas is done to take the focus away from Jesus. Fact or fiction? That's probably a tradition. They did mark things with an X. X is actually the first letter in Greek, Christos, which means Christ. It was actually used in place of the word Christ by some of the early Christians in the Greek language. So they would actually use that there. So it has sort of become adopted, though, by the world. And so Christians have sort of rebelled against it because of that. But it's actually not, it wasn't done originally by, in order to take the focus away from Jesus. So, you know, I still can't bring myself to write that, though. I don't know about you, I just can't do it. I mean, even though I know that when I'm writing it, there's times when I'm tempted, even in my notes, even when I'm just making notes for myself, I'm so tempted sometimes to do that. But I just can't bring myself to do it, and so I don't. All right. Now, did anybody get all of those right? Probably not. No, I wouldn't. You know, and it, yeah, maybe have been Matthew. I don't know. Anyway, the point here, don't miss the point of that. And then I want to share a thing with you in the last 5 minutes before we go. The point there was, and I hope those of you at home, I hope you played along. I hope you were able to follow as best you could. We need to pay close attention. We need to pay close attention when we need to not read our Bibles. We need to study our Bibles. It's okay to read, but we're told actually to study to show ourselves approved. All right, and so sometimes it's important for us to learn the difference. And I just wanted to use the Christmas story because I thought, of all the stories in Scripture, what is the one that everybody knows? I mean, Charlie Brown, or Linus, remember the Charlie Brown Christmas story? You know, even, you know, Linus came out and he quoted that scripture. I'll bet many of us could quote it, but we don't think about all the details sometimes, and it's important sometimes that we do that. You know, it brings to light some of the Christmas carols we sing. You know, like, "We three kings of Orient are." Well, we don't know there's three kings. I hope that doesn't ruin that song for you. "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, little Lord Jesus, no, it says, no crying he made." Well, we don't know if Jesus cried. My guess is he probably cried. He's still Jesus, even if he cried. I know he cried as a man. I know John chapter 8 or 11, 35, I can't remember which one it is now, says Jesus wept. So, you know, is it 11? And so, you know, and so forth. So anyway, those are the things that we want to pay attention. Now let me give you a real quick study here. We got 4 minutes left here in our normal time. But I do want to share something with you tonight. I can do a study in 4 minutes. I didn't say I was going to. I just said I can. On Sunday, we talked about Noel. I want to give you a little challenge here. And again, I really do feel very, very, I feel very close to those of you that are physically here on Wednesday night. I feel very close to you that tune in every single week. And I wish I could see you. I really do. I wish I could be with you. But I want to encourage you with something here. On Sunday, we talked about the word Noel. We talked about the fact that it means a birth or a rebirth. And there's a part of this Christmas story that rarely ever gets talked about. It's actually found in Luke chapter number 1. I'm just going to read it for you. In Luke, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 5. "There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name is Elizabeth." This is the parents of John the Baptist. We kind of alluded to this earlier. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." But now watch this. Watch verse 7. Hear this and tell me what it reminds you of. "And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years." They had no child and they were very old, well past childbearing age. Who does that remind you of? Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is, you know, God has a way of weaving in Scripture some similarities to help us to see. He does some things in the same way oftentimes to get our attention. And in this case, you know, whenever God began something, if you think about it, whenever God began something new, He oftentimes did it with unusual circumstances. So when He was going to begin the nation of Israel, He didn't come to Abraham when he was 30. He came to Abraham when he was 75 or 90, and Sarah was 75. You know, He came to them when it was impossible for men to do it. Amen. Now He's coming to Zechariah and Elizabeth when it's impossible for them to have a child. Very similar. Let's continue on. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without. So Zechariah was a priest, and he was doing his priestly duties at that time because it was his time to do it. He was offering incense, different things like that. But outside, what was going on outside the temple? Outside the temple was this. Verse 10, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So here's Zechariah inside the temple doing what he's supposed to be doing as a priest, and outside there were a whole bunch of God's people praying. It's an amazing thing. God's people surrounded that building and were praying. Now, what were they praying for? We don't know. They weren't talking about the Christmas story yet. That hadn't happened yet. This is John the Baptist. Mary's not even been approached by the angel yet. This is long before the angel comes. This is about John the Baptist, the precursor, the one who's going to go ahead of Jesus. All right, here we go. I got to hurry. Verse 13. And the angel said, and so an angel appeared to Zacharias inside the temple, and he said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Now, can I ask you a question? What was his prayer? We're not told. Bible doesn't tell us what his prayer was. But it follows with, "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." My guess is he had been praying in his lifetime for a son. He's too old now. I don't know if he's still praying or not, but here's what I do know. The angel said, "Your prayer has been heard." Now, he may have stopped praying when he was 45 years old. I don't know. But God didn't forget what he prayed. Can I ask you a question? Those of you at home, have you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God hasn't answered yet? There's probably some things we've all prayed for, and God hasn't answered them yet. That doesn't mean he's not going to. He might just answer that prayer after all human means to answer it are done. That's what's happening here. Once we have gone beyond the point where we could actually do it, God says, "Now, when I do this, you'll know it was me," perhaps. Verse number 18. As we continue on, verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings." Verse 20 and last here. "And behold, you shall be dumb," that means not able to speak, "and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Now, here's all I wanted to share with you, and then we're done tonight. Yeah, it's a story we don't talk about often, but as we head into 2021, 2020 has been a very, very difficult year, has it not? Perhaps it looks hopeless for a lot of people right now. I think there's a lot of people in our world that right now, they're on the verge of giving up hope. They prayed back in March and April and May. You prayed in July and August and September, and man, God's just not coming through, and now the year's almost up, and it looks like it's all over. Well, guess what? Zechariah prayed at some point too, and God never forgot what he prayed. I want to encourage you, whenever God's getting ready to do some new birth, something brand new, many times he does it with unusual circumstances. So don't give up your prayers. Remember, this part of the Christmas story rarely gets talked about. But in order for Jesus to be born and to have the ministry he had, there had to first come John the Baptist to announce his, his ministry when the time was come. And God put it in Scripture for us, I think, to let us know that whenever he's going to begin something new, many times it happens at a time when all human hope is lost. God did it all through Scripture. Maybe that's what God's doing in your life right now. I hope you will have a wonderful Christmas season. Those of you that I won't see before Christmas, I hope to see you Sunday. I hope to see you Friday night. If not Friday night, I hope to see you Sunday. If not Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. But whenever I see you, if I don't see you before Christmas, I hope that you have a wonderful season of peace. And don't give up your faith in God, any of us, because God is always remembering the things we've prayed for. All right.